Okay, let's get started over here. We've been anxiously awaiting. Zundel Amorti, you told Zundel Amorti? Zundel Amorti, you told?
Whoa.
It's an apple or it's the popcorn. They don't go together. It's not like peanut butter and jelly. Right?
Apple.
I'm in. Well, there's more popcorn outside if you guys want. Okay, let's get going over here. Rabbi, we are now going to begin on a journey, and we're trying to explore the universe, the world of Emunah. There's a lot to be discussed about this. The part of the challenge of Emunah is that a lot of it is basics. And when you talk about the basics, so there's like a limit to how much you can like really speak about. And after a while, it just gets the same thing over and over again. But, you know, and when you examine certain details of Emunah, there's really more there than meets the eye. So what I'd like to speak about today first is really discussing the foundations of Emunah. We're starting Parshas Bereishis, even though we're close to Noach right now, but we're going to do a little bit about Bereishis. Bereishis is about the beginning of the world, and the foundations of Emunah are there in the beginning of the world. So, if I would ask you, did we go through this? I don't remember. What does Emunah mean? I'd like to ask you, if you could possibly, if you're comfortable speaking out, how would you describe what it means to have Emunah? Bang. Trust. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Rilly Snyder.
Trust.
Trust. Trust in what? Trust at what?
Faith that everything's for the best and everything, that he controls the world and he's everything.
Rafael Gully does not agree. But let's go around. Let's hear some other people before. You're going to disagree or you're going to say something else?
I'm going to disagree and say something else.
Okay, so first disagree.
Okay, I disagree that because that's betachan. Betachan is trusting, and emunah is knowing.
So there's a big discussion. What's
you can have emunah, and you can have betachan. You can know that Hashem does everything, and Hashem.
So we have to know. We have to figure out what is emunah. What
is emunah?
It's betachan.
Okay, this is a big machloikas. This is a big machloikas. What you guys are talking about? But let's move on for a second. What else we got over there? Daniel Shaffel, you gonna pass?
Yeah.
What? Faith in what? That what? Faith in
God.
That what? That what? That he exists?
Not just that he exists, but that everything is him.
That everything is him. Okay. So I have a friend named Gil Locks. Any of you met Gil Locks? So Gil Locks, when he was first becoming frum, did the following thing. He'd go over to his rabbi and say, "Rabbi, are you God?" Now, you know that Baal Tshuvas think that their rabbis are God, right? So he'd say, "No, I'm not God." He said, "How could you not be God? But it says God is everywhere. So if you're not God, then God is not in you." These are the type of...
That's what someone asked. Someone asked him if he's God in the middle of speech.
Really? What did he say?
He's like... I forgot what he said, but I was wondering, what is
the
guy asking?
I don't know if that's what he meant, but yes, that's if you look at his book, Gil wrote a book, it's called Coming Back to Earth, I think it's called. Were you there when he spoke?
Couldn't think of a better name than that.
I don't know.
What did you say? Couldn't think of a better...
It's about his life story?
It's about his life story.
Oh,
he spoke here on... A day?
When
was it? What was it?
Tuesday.
Oh, the one that spoke in there?
Guru Gil.
Oh, I wasn't there.
So Gil, God is everywhere. It's a little bit difficult for us to really understand that, but that's what the Noach Shabbos is saying. Emunah is that God is everywhere. Yehuda?
Yeah, I stole his words.
You stole his words. Yossi?
I'm going to go with Ralph.
That what?
That there's a difference between knowing that Hashem's there and that trusting.
Okay, so what does it mean? Trusting that what?
Trusting that he's going to take care of everything.
What does that mean, he's going to take care of everything?
You.
Okay, he's going to take care of you.
That he's there.
Doesn't mean it has to do with the fact that the world is good, it's not good, it just means that he's taking care.
In one essence, it's all the same thing.
I mean, the proof we have is from Pari. You know, the Pari had Emunah. He knew that whatever punishment he's going to give the Yidden, that's what's going to happen to him. And that's why he drowned all the babies in the Nile. Right? And then because he knew that Hashem's not going to bring another flood. So he had Emunah, he didn't have a Tachan, though. He lived by self-fully.
So I want to right now understand what emuna and bitachon. I'm going to put them together. Emuna and bitachon. What I mean is, they're definitely one. They're going together. One complements the other. One is the next level of the other. Whatever it is, but they're going together. They don't contradict each other, right? So I don't know what you have emuna that what. What does emuna mean? I'll tell you a story. What I'm trying to go with this. I believe the story is about Rav Shimon Schwab and Rav Pesach Kron. Rav Pesach Kron was one time going to visit his father in the hospital. And his father was staying in the hospital in Washington Heights. So he stayed by Rav Shimon Schwab's house. And when he came back from visiting his father, so Schwab said, you know, what's the matziv? And he said, I have a emunah, Kadosh Baruch Hu, everything's going to be okay. And he said, that's not a emunah, Hashem. Make a mistake. Where did Hashem say everything's going to be? My father's going to have, I don't remember exactly the lashon. He said my father's going to have a recovery. Who said that? That's a moon in Hashem. That I remember. I was here when the three boys were kidnapped, right? And one of the people I was interviewed says, "I have a moon shlema that the boys are going to come home healthy." What is that? Where did Hashem say that the boys are going to come home healthy? That's false. That's not a moon. That's a mistake. And when she said it, they were already dead. Those boys were killed right on the spot. I don't know if you know that. Pretty much they were killed immediately. So what does it mean, emuna? You believe that what? What do we believe? Okay, I'm putting emuna and bitachon together. What do we believe?
Whatever's the best is happening.
Whatever's for the best is happening.
Trust,
emuna. I'm putting it all together. We're going to have to... There's definitely a difference, but they're working together. As you want to try to figure out exactly what emuna means. But everyone, I think, agrees that Judaism believes that everything is for the good. Correct? Anyone know, like, a Maimer Chazal that says that? Nachum Ish Gamzu said?
Gamzu.
What does it mean, Gamzu
L'Toyva? This is also.
What does it mean, also?
Even though it's not, doesn't look good now, it is for the best.
In other words, you know, that it's good, that a person, has certain things. Okay, I understand that that's good. Also, this is for the good. So that's really good. Yeah. Also, this is really good. Gamzu L'Toyva. What do you mean? That's Gamzu L'Toyva. That's Nachum Ish Gamzu. He was saying everything is really good. Some people understand certain things are good. You know? Thorns around a rose. You understand why they're good. Why are thorns around a rose good?
It protects
them. Okay. I understand that. But because then you see like where like the, it's called the silver lining in the cloud. But there are certain things like, come on, that can't be good. Mosquitoes. Why are mosquitoes good? Mosquitoes are good. Gamzu L'Toyva. It's also for the good. Everything is for the good. Kol ma da'avid rachmana l'tav avid. Everything Hashem does is for the good. Everybody said, where do we know that from? Where do we know that from? Okay, Chazal say it. Where did Chazal get it from? I would like to suggest it's a pasuk. The pasuk says, Oilam chesed yibane. Which means, God has created a world of kindness of chesed. What does that mean? Oilam chesed yibane. The entire world is kindness. That's the way God created the world. Says the Ramchal, it's not possible. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu created this world because of one reason. Why? Anyone know why God created the world? These are very important questions, I think. What? So I'm going to cut it back down just to shrink that sentence. So that we should... No. That's what I didn't want to say. So that we should enjoy. What? Maybe we'll talk about that. Hashem created this world in order to give us pleasure. Now I'll explain to you why that makes sense. This is what the Ramchal says. God is not like on an ego trip or anything like that, that he needs like respect or anything. You know what I mean? It's not like he doesn't need any of that. So why would he put us here for? Because he has a desire to give. In other words, everything that he's doing because he wants to give. When you give someone, you're giving them goodness. He wants to share goodness. It is the nature of a good person. They want to share every person. People want to have children. There are sick people in this world that don't want to have children. I one time, it was actually a Jewish lady, and she was a court, you know, she was in the Supreme Court justice or something fancy like that. She said the smartest thing she ever did was she decided not to have children because it would have hampered her career. Right? So most of us understand that that's a sick lady. Because everyone has a desire. People pay millions of dollars to have children. Children cost a lot of money. Right? They cost a lot of money, but everyone wants to have children. Because you want to be able to share with someone. You want to be able to give to someone. That's why a person wants to have children. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is the ultimate good, so wants to give to us. So everything he does is therefore good. It doesn't make that much sense to us. That's the question that the Achronim ask. They say, okay, if he wants to be good, so just make a world just full of good, right? What do you have to have bad for at all? Just good, good, good. What? Because you don't appreciate the ultimate good. We have to, you know, this. There's a lot of complications in this, but we're not going to get into that right now. But because the ultimate good is our ability to earn our good. That person feels much better if he earns something than if he gets a free ride. So that's the ultimate good. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the ultimate good. So therefore, everything Hashem does is good. Olam chesed yibone. Now, being the ultimate good is for us to earn it. So how did Hashem create the world? With midas hadin. Because if you want to do good, you have to have something called midas hadin. Because then you have to earn it. Problem is that no one can really earn it. Like, if you know, we would all have begun at the age of 13 and a day if Hashem really did midas hadin. You know what I mean? Because we all messed up. So therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to like pepper it with a little bit of midas harachamim. You got that? That's what Chazal say. Mitzchila oylem machshava livra b'midas hadin. Ra she'en oylem miskayim. So amad v'shitef imo midas harachamim. That's it's the Chazal right in the beginning of Sefer Bereishis. If you could possibly pass me a chumash, I think even Rashi brings it down. I'm quite certain. How do we start Bereishis? Bara Elohim. That's the Shemayim Vesaris. Different names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu have different implications. Elohim is midas hadin. Bereishis bara Elohim as the Shemayim Vesaris. So how did Hashem create the world? Midas hadin. I thought we said Hashem created the world to be kind. So we said the way of being kind is through getting us to deserve it. Midas hadin. You got that?
Yep.
Now, if you look in the beginning of the next Eile Todoy Shemayim Baretz, Bihi Barom Biyoyim Asois Hashem Elokim Eretz V'Shamayim. This is the beginning of the second Aliyah. Eila Todo Shemayim Va'aretz. These are the chronicles of the heaven and the earth. Bi Barim as they were created. Hashem Elokim. Bayom Asois Hashem Elokim Eretz V'Shamayim. So now it says Hashem Elokim. Before it just said Elokim. Why does now it say Hashem Elokim? So Chazal tell us the Betchila Allah B'Machshava to create with Midas Adin. Rosh Ein Olam Eskayim and He's Amad V'Shitef Midas Harachamim. So I want to put it in order. We have Midas HaChesed was like the foundation. That's where everything was like, that was like the whole idea in the first place to create the world. Was Olam Chesed Yibaneh. Hashem used Din and added Rachamim. You got it? That's the order. You got it, Rafal? Chesed, Din, Rachamim. The foundation of everything is Chesed. And then once you want to build it, you use Din. Din doesn't work alone, so if you have to have Rachamim. That's the way Hashem created the world. Now, I would like to suggest that the Avos Chesed, right? And the world, that's the laid the foundation for the Jewish people with Chesed. Next comes Yitzchak, and then comes Yaakov. Yitzchak is famous for, the Pasuk says that Yaakov swore in the name of Pachad Yitzchak. What does that mean? You ever heard of the yeshiva Pachad Yitzchak? There's no pasuk that speaks about Pachad Avram. It speaks about Pachad Yitzchak. Because what is Pachad? Fear of? Of Din. Yitzchak has fear. That's fear of Din. Yitzchak is Midas HaDin. Avram is Midas HaChesed. Avram is Ava. Avram is love and kindness and goodness. Yitzchak is the opposite extreme. Yitzchak is Midas HaDin.
He was one of the people I never remember.
No. I'm not sure which list you're talking about exactly. There's different lists, but
it's like midas hadin.
And then comes the third is midas harachamim. Is Yaakov is called midas harachamim?
Why?
Why is Yaakov called midas harachamim? So that's a little bit of a long discussion of rachamim is a balance between midas hadin and midas rachamim is din, but it's like lightened din. It's mercy means is different than kindness. A person cannot have, when a person says he wants to have children, so it's not out of mercy. You have to have mercy on someone, right? So Avraham Avinu he wants to be kind to people, even if they don't exist. Avraham Avinu was upset on the third day of his milah. Why?
No one was coming.
So if there's no one out there, why are you upset? It's like no one needs food. Everyone's fine. Why was he upset? Because he couldn't give. Wasn't the fourth that he felt bad for someone? It's a desire to give, even if you have no one to feel bad for. I want to share with people. Find someone for me to give to. That's HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a world in order to be able to give. It didn't exist. Racham is something else. When you have mercy on someone, you see this poor guy, and he's a homeless guy, and he's got ripped sneakers, and he's like smells, and he's like sleeping over there on the side of the road, and you just drop a few quarters, or a buck, or $5, whatever it is. That's called mercy.
So Yaakov, did
I
have
mercy? Yaakov was mercy, Avram was kindness.
Why did you say Yaakov was mercy?
So when we get to Yaakov Avinu, we'll discuss it more at length. But I'm just trying to show you that the same way we have this format of Chesed Din Rachamim, that's the way the world was created. First, Hashem says, "I want to bestow kindness."
So how does that work with us in our daily lives, though?
So we're gonna figure that. So we have all these three different things ourselves. We have a desire to give. We have also this concept of having fear of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of Din, and then Rachim. But we're going to start, the reason I'm trying to establish first is that Hashem created this world to be kind. That is a part of our Amunah. Our Amunah is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is kind.
Chesed and Rachim are for Benor Mechavera, and what's called is for Hashem, and Din is for Hashem?
Kind of. Rachim is
the... Rachim and Chesed be for Hashem also, or no?
Sure.
And Din could be...
Everything has its applications. But Chesed is classically Ben Olam Chaveroi, Din is Ben Olam Makom, and Racham is actually Ben Olam Atzmai. Let's push that off a little bit, okay? For a moment. What I'm trying to establish here is that Hashem, everything Hashem does is for the good. And it's a pasuk, Olam Chesed Yibane. This world is a world of kindness. Not always is the kindness so obvious. That's when the Emunah kicks in. Right? There are certain things that are obviously good. Right? To say I believe that Hashem is kind for giving us sense of smell, that doesn't take belief. Right? We will understand that the sense of smell is something that is very useful. First of all, you enjoy it when you like a Friday night, you get a nice good whiff of something that smells good. And also something smells bad is very helpful, because if it didn't smell bad, you'd be eating rotten stuff all the time. You wouldn't realize you're in the presence of something that's toxic or whatever it is. The sense of smell is very helpful. Sense of taste. Right? It's not like we all realize the sense of taste is minas a chesed. There are certain things that we don't understand why they're chesed. That's emunah.
Is that then? No.
Everything really boils down to chesed. There's just degrees. In other words, sometimes the din is also chesed, because chesed is the foundation. Everything starts with chesed. Hashem is kulay chesed. Oilam chesed yibane. This world is chesed. Sometimes part of the chesed takes a certain amount of din. And an obvious application is as follows. Putting a person, let's say telling people that they're not allowed to leave the building, you're basically putting them in prison. Right? Which is, it's lockdown. Right? Basically in prison. Some would say, okay, that's very not nice. Why are you not letting people leave the building? You tell them they can't go here, they can't go there, they can't do this, they can't do that. That sounds like you're being very not nice to them. But we understand that if you take it a step further, if you look deeper into that, you realize it's actually out of a desire to protect you. Okay, but why am I in that situation? Why do I have to be in a situation? Why can't, you know, why do we have to have, you know, dangers lurking around us? Well, let's look a little deeper than that. We obviously have an issue that caused that. Well, why is that issue there? And as you keep going deeper and deeper, layer under layer, you understand that everything HaKadosh Baruch Hu did is for the good. take something that's even a little bit more harsh. A person has to have an amputation. Someone just chopped off one of his limbs. So if you just look at the fact that someone is now cutting off part of a person's body, that looks like it's a horrific thing to do. If you just see it on the surface. But if you realize the person is a doctor, he's doing it because there's something dangerous there, so then you understand that he's being kind. But the actual incision itself is an act of din. So there's different layers, and when we get down to the final layer, we have to understand everything that Kodesh Baruch Hu, and that's the faith that we have to have. Some of the things are more obvious. If a person is having an amputation, so he understands that you can't save the leg is going to, the infection that's there is too dangerous to the rest of the body, that we can understand, but sometimes we don't understand. That's where we have Emunah. Emunah, but the first part of Emunah is understanding everything that Kodesh Baruch Hu does is good. Now, certain things are so difficult for us to see. It's such a wall for us that we might know it's true, and that's what we were talking about previously, knowing that something is true, but we don't necessarily feel it. The difference between what Emunah is really about is really more a feeling than a knowledge. We'll talk about that also when we get to Shmois, to Paro, as we were talking about. How it's really something that is in a person's heart. Now, how does someone get something into their heart? The way you get something in your heart is by talking about it. I'll give you an example. I'm going to give you a word of advice. When you Bezrat Hashem, when you're at the Shabbos table with your wife, or even when it's not with your wife, every time that you're there, you compliment the food. I've hundreds of times had my wife's kugel, right? It's the same kugel every week, basically the same thing. And every week to say, you know, the kugel's delicious. She knows that already. She knows I feel that way already, whatever it is, right? So what are you saying it again for? What's the point? Or a person tells wife that she's beautiful. You said that already. What's the point? Because it's not about an intellectual understanding. It's not about a piece of information. It's about a feeling. And a person feels something the more you talk about it. Right? Let's say a person is recounting a very emotional situation that he was in. You knew what it was. But when you talk about it, all of a sudden you start getting emotional again. The people there that are listening to it also start getting emotional again. Because emotions have to do with a person speaking about something. So what we're doing in this Chabur is we're going to speak about Emunah. And by speaking about Emunah, we're going to try to make it like more of a feeling, not just something that's cold and sterile, like just knowledge, information. Something we have to feel. Certain smaller pieces of Emunah are easier. What do I mean? I mean as follows. If, let's say, some of this would fall on the floor and I'd lose my sushi. Okay. What would you say? Gamzu l'tayva. Okay, I'm not that desperate for sushi, guys. I'm really not. It's healthier, so I like to eat healthier food. The yeshiva's food is a little too greasy for an old man like me. But say it is. If I have to eat the yeshiva's food, I'll eat the yeshiva's food. It's not like such a big deal, you know? But if I just invested all my life savings in one particular like investment firm and, you know, Bear Stearns just went bankrupt and I'm losing all of my money, that's not so easy to say Gamzu L'tayva. It's not so easy. It's a difference. It's money, you know what I mean? This costs me money. Yeah, because there's little money and there's big money. There's no difference in the understanding. You lose money, it's Gamzu L'tayva. But certain things are harder for us to come to terms with. So what we have to do is we have to start taking steps. And maybe I'll have an easier time with sushi. But what happens if it's something more than that? What happens if it's $100 loss? That's not my life savings. It's getting closer, but it's not my life savings. So we have to keep taking steps forward, which means looking at a Kodesh Baruch Hu, what I call it is building our Emunah muscles. As we build them, and everything that happens, it's a small little something. You know, whatever it is, if a person like tears a shirt, it's like frustrating. So if it's an old shirt, it's easier. Okay, comes a little tight. If it's a brand new shirt, you just bought it, and you sit down in one of these chairs, and there's a snag, and you know what I'm talking about? Oh, it's my new shirt. Okay. That's a challenge.
Let's say it comes to a situation where I realize I lost all my money, right? And a guy screams out, "Gamzul will tell you," he doesn't
punch him in the feel face.
But he's saying it this.
Oh, you mean the person himself?
Yeah, he says it. He says so it. Gamzul will tell you.
Some people can.
He clenches his teeth, but he doesn't really. Let's say a guy. I'm taking myself, right?
Right.
I don't really feel.
Right.
That,
so that's
like
our
saying
so,
it. But I tell myself everything's for the best.
So this is our challenge, and you'll see, Be'ez Hashem, over the course of this winter, as we're going to be talking about Emunah and everything like that, you're going to be in situations where you're going to be actually feel more than you felt it before, because as we're talking about it, and as you're focused on it, so then you're going to start realizing, okay, this is a test, and I'm going to get above it, and. And there's all different types of situations we have. I'll tell you the situation that comes to mind. Last year, I was with two of my nieces. My nieces came from America. They were both older girls and were feeling a little frantic about Shidduchim. They came to Eretz Yisrael to daven b'kivrei tzaddikim. So I took them around. We went to Lada Mokhamis HaKadoshim, to Meir Baal HaNes, to Shimon Bar Yochai, to the Zvil Rebbe, to all these different places. I wanted to be back in Yeshiva for Mishnah Yeshiva, 6:20. And the taxi driver, he's a very, I have this very firm taxi driver, doesn't have a smartphone, doesn't have GPS, doesn't have Waze, doesn't know, I'm like, you're a taxi driver, you have to know your way around this country. What do you mean you don't know? And he got lost. And I was getting very frustrated at the taxi driver. I mean, I respect him, that he doesn't obviously respect him, he doesn't have a smartphone, obviously, right? But I'm like, okay, at least I have a GPS. You know, there's nothing wrong with having a GPS or something. Doesn't know his way around the country. I was like really getting angry, and you know, after the Mishnah Shira's the Munavad, I'm like, okay, I'm gonna get angry that I'm not getting to my Munavad. That's ridiculous. So I got on top of it, and I tried to get on top of the situation. And when he asked me, I asked him how much I have to pay him, right? So he was like, he was himself very embarrassed of the fact that he got lost. So I tested myself. Can I give him a tip? Because here I am, very upset. Like the guys. You know, this is like pathetic for a taxi driver to me. But if I realize this is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so then I can give him a tip. I could be happy giving him a tip. That's a situation where whether I did a good job or not, I don't know. But you're gonna realize that in every single day we're faced with these types of challenges. You bump into a guy who's next to you and he spills his coffee all over your pants. So what do you do now? There's situations that happen constantly.
Even if you don't feel it, are you supposed to say it already?
So that's what Rafal was kind of like hinting over there. Like, guys scream out, Gamzul will tell me they don't really mean it.
Supposed to strengthen him, right?
He's trying.
So I'm saying, like, he comes up with Davin, he might, am I supposed to thank Hashem for things I don't see? I don't see that this is for the good right now.
So the stipler says that we're really supposed to be able to see everything that we thank Hashem for. That's what the stipler says.
We'll talk about that. Things that I'm talking about it, then at least I have the thought process go through my mind and second something bad happens.
That's true. At least we're saying it, and then in the beginning you fake it until you become it. Some people say fake it till you make it. You fake it till you become it. It's a little different.
Make it, become it.
We'll talk about that next week.